ones, as we have said, they had not seen the Lord Jesus in the flesh. They had not walked with him as Peter had. They had not seen the events of our blessed Lord's sinless life. They had not seen him at all in this kind of a scene. But he says to them, "Whom having not seen you love, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Beloved, we're living in strange times, it seems to me. We're living, if we can put ourselves into the world in which we live, and it's as I have been speaking in some of the assemblies, I've been reminding many of you that we live in a world of some 5 billion people. Tremendous population of our world. 5 billion people. And in terms of our own understanding of spiritual things, and as we look into the Word of God, and as statistics may mean little or nothing to us, we realize that we're a very, very small minority in this globe of ours. It's estimated that only 5 to 10%, maybe as many as 15% of our world would be called truly the Lord's. How many of those would be born again people loving the Lord Jesus, having a clear understanding of the Scripture? It might be less than 5% of our world. And in saying that, we realize that we're living in very strange times indeed. People who claim, or at least profess, to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me say that in some of the countries that I've had the privilege of traveling in, a personal relationship to Jesus Christ is a term that is very misunderstood in many of our third world countries. We realize that there's a brand of kind of an enthusiastic, emotional approach to Christianity that is void of the foundation of the Word of God. And I think I'm not saying anything that will be disrespectful to other Christian groups, and I'm sure you understand what I mean. Our world, in many circles, is filled with people who are turning, hopefully, to the Lord Jesus Christ, but have absolutely nothing in terms of a foundation. I was in an airport some time ago with a believer, Bill Van Rhine. Some of you know him, recognize his name. We were in an airport in the Dominican Republic, and a man came up to us as Bill was reading his Bible, and he was so happy to see someone read his Bible, and he was from Korea. And he began to talk to us, and he informed us that literally thousands and thousands of people are turning to the Lord Jesus in Korea. In fact, he said the church that he attended had over 300,000 people, as many as 500,000 people. And in a prayer meeting, there was never less than 30,000 people gathered. And I thought for a moment, as I thought of the very weak and failing efforts of my own home assembly, and I thought of the diminishing amount of people, and I began to cry out to God, "Lord, are we on the right path? Lord, do we have thy mind in these things?" And Lord, do I have this personal relationship with Thee? Am I persuaded in all of my heart that I'm walking in this path of Your blessing? Now, I'm not going to tell you or say anything about the particular brand of Christianity to which this Korean man belonged. That is not the point. The point is that it's possible to imagine that personal relationship to Jesus Christ is something that seemingly bubbles forth with an enthusiasm that is merely based upon some emotional experience that doesn't last when the going gets tough and rough. And again, please misunderstand me. Personal relationship to the Lord Jesus is something of which the Scripture speaks very, very plainly. And personal relationship to Jesus Christ, first of all, comes from the objective side, the doctrinal side, and lest we stumble over our doctrine and begin to imagine that Christianity is wild enthusiasm, as I said, is rampant in the third world, we would be very much concerned and we would wonder where we are. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bible, just briefly to the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. The sixth chapter of Romans. I would like at this beginning of these sessions in our conference, as you're turning to this, that what is the foundation upon which we stand that we can say, yes, I have personal relationship to the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say before we read this that salvation is of the Lord. The Word of God is the only authority. And we do not prove the Word of God by our experiences, but rather we prove our experience by God's holy Word. It is the Word of God upon which we stand. It is the Word of God that is our only authority. It is the Word of God that is God-breathed. And regardless of what people are doing in our day, regardless of what is going on out there somewhere, regardless, young people, if people say sometimes the assemblies appear kind of slow and morbid, regardless of what people say, we thank God for what the Word of God teaches us, and we can stand upon this and walk a straight course, and we can say, we have indeed a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. First of all, He has done the work. Relationship with the Lord Jesus. There's a truth that came to my mind many years ago as I was struggling and trying to determine in my own faith just where I stood in Scripture. I remember as a young man meeting with others for all nights of prayer, trying to receive some sort of a feeling of acceptance with the Lord, trying to be, if you please, just a little bit more spiritual. And I think I can say through experiences through which we passed that I was not searching the Word of God until a dear old brother showed me something in this sixth chapter of Romans of which has changed that time the course of my life. And in the sixth chapter of Romans, we read these words in verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be annulled or destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Beloved, the truth of our death and co-resurrection with the Lord Jesus Christ was a most enlightening experience as to reading the Word of God, something that transformed my whole thinking. And I would like to suggest, particularly to young people, I would suggest that this truth of my having died with the Lord Jesus, my having risen with Him in a newness of life, is the most steadfast and satisfying portion of the Word of God for those who would desire to go on to see our contemporaries going off into various directions. Let me give you just one simple little illustration that's so vivid to me. I've told this to several of you in my stay with you, but let me tell you a story about a a Roman Catholic priest who I came to know rather by accident. He said to me, and we've had some wonderful, wonderful conversations. You pray for this man. I believe that one of these days he's going to get his grave clothes off and he's going to leave that system. But he told me this, something that I shall never forget. He said, "Fred, I was in a monastery for 14 years. And he said, I laid on the cement floor." He was from the U.S. He says, "I laid on the cement floor in the cold, half naked, trying to be worthy of the death of the Lord Jesus." And he said, "I went through all sorts of fasts and all sorts of penance, and I never had peace." Then he said, one day, he says, it came to our attention that the hierarchy allowed us to read the Scriptures. He said, "I had never read the Scriptures except through the books that might have interpreted for us the Scriptures." But he said, "I began to read the Bible for myself." And he said, "I came to this portion in Romans 6. And he said, "I found out that when Christ died, I died with Him. And when He rose from the dead, I rose with Him." And he says, "It changed my life." And he said, "I see things now from a different perspective altogether. I am His, and He is mine. And I have personal relationship with the Lord Jesus." And he says, "I found that on the basis of the Word of God." Oh, what a testimony to the power of the living Word of God. As I say, this dear man is still somewhat in his grave clothes, but we pray for him constantly. And beloved, this is it, isn't it? This is the whole thing. Relationship to Jesus Christ is an objective truth. It is a doctrinal truth. It's a truth upon which we stand. And this is our foundation. We have indeed, through the work of our blessed Lord Jesus, the value of His death, we have personal, vital, living relationship with Jesus Christ. What a blessing. What a wonderful thing to have this kind of a faith. And it is it not? It's a walk by faith. Everything that we do, we receive, we act in faith. We go ahead. We take the Word of God with or without our personal feelings. We walk in a path because we believe God's Word teaches us in this manner. We are not stumbled by what we see. We are not going into other pastures because it may seem to be a little bit more active or what. But we have a firm foundation in God's Word. We stand upon this. I'd like to suggest that to you. Whatever the Word of God says is truth, it is authoritative. We can trust it. I would never trust my feelings. I would never trust my experiences. I would never trust, quotation marks, my visions or whatever, but I would trust the Word of God. For is it not the Holy Spirit who uses His Word alone? We read in John, do we not, that in reference to the Holy Spirit, He would not speak of Himself, but He will glorify Me. This seems so difficult to so many with whom we minister to, that they're always looking for a feeling of contentment or a feeling of having attained. And the emphasis is placed upon the Spirit rather upon the exalted Christ. And so they're occupied with their feelings. And they really have no personal relationship to Jesus Christ. But oh, as we search the Word of God, this is the authority. As we said a moment ago, we would not trust our feelings on the matter. But we would hold to the Word of God in a very straight line, a very thin line, a very narrow line. We would say, thus saith the Lord. And if God says it, I believe it, as one has said, and that settles it. Yea, indeed, I died with Him. I was buried as such. I rose with Him in a newness of life. And yea, I have this blessed. This blessed relationship to our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. You know, beloved, this is worth everything in life. This is worth everything. This does away with the agonizing and hoping. I remember, if you'll permit me, there was a dear Haitian, just a simple Haitian Christian. He was struggling with his English, and he was listening to a group of men who were well taught in scriptures explaining and trying to explain some of the deep things of God. And the Haitian just looked and he made this statement. He said, I really don't understand all that you're saying, but I would like to say this. I'm deep into Jesus. I'm deep into Jesus. And I know that He loves me. And I know that I am His. And I have this personal relationship with Him. What a blessing this is, beloved. Personal relationship. We could say so many things. We've talked primarily about the objective side. And we must move on. In any presentation such as this, when we speak of personal relationship to our blessed Lord Jesus, the subject then is going to somewhat revolve upon our own person. And we have to think a little bit of the subjective side. How I respond to this. How I respond to His love. And I'll only know His love, will I not, as I search through the Scriptures. So one who has personal relationship to Jesus Christ loves the Word of God. He loves the Word of God. He, as it were, he eats up the Word of God. He finds it to his taste like honey. He enjoys what God has, and he sees that the voice of God is heard in the Word of God. And that personal relationship from our point and from our side, one of the things is that love for the blessed Word of God. What can I say to you, and again, somewhat repetitious? Have you forgotten what it was like when you first developed an appetite for God's Word? Have you somehow taken some things for granted that we've just always had this Bible and we've had these books and we somehow take them for granted? I would just remind you that in our world today there are many, many thousands, perhaps this very hour, who for the first time in their life read in their own language the Word of God. And I've seen some of these people. I've seen some of the little children that for the first time in their life, little young readers who take the Word of God, and I can see them as they open the pages and as they bring it to their breast, and they say, "It's in my language." And beloved, we have to realize that in our world, do we not? There are millions of dear souls that yet do not have this, and they'll never grow apart from the Word of God. We know this. Personal relationship to the Lord Jesus involves that taking the Word of God, asking the Lord Jesus to make Himself plain to us. And as we said, it is the ministry of the Spirit of God to make the loveliness of Christ a reality in your life and mine. Oh, how precious that is. You know, it may take gift to be able to speak, obviously, somewhat of a gift, to speak audibly, but it takes no gift to love the Lord Jesus and His Word. It takes no gift as the Lord Jesus ministers to our heart through the Word of God. When is the last time, and I challenge you in this, that you've taken the Word of God and you've found something for yourself and you have said, "Oh, this is so wonderful. I've got to tell somebody about this." This is it. Personal relationship to the Lord Jesus. Turn with me in your Bible. Just let's look at this once from the Psalms. I believe it's Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Will you turn there for just a moment? The psalmist. Now here we are looking at that subjective side, that personal side. It's a very personal psalm. It's a very intimate psalm. Parts of it, no doubt, applicable to our blessed Lord Jesus. But here, the psalmist in verse 1 says, "I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live." What intimacy. What simplicity. The psalmist, "I love the Lord because He's heard my voice. Lord, thank You for listening to me. Lord, thank You that I can pray to You. And Lord, because You've inclined Your ear unto me, I'll call upon You as long as I live." These things are not necessarily public. These things are in private, in the quietness of our own heart, in the quietness of our own personal meditation upon the Lord, when we're all alone, not here on the rostrum, but in the secret of our closet when we lift up our hearts and say, just alone to God, "Lord Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine." Precious, isn't it? Preciousness, it is indeed to be able to commune with the Lord Jesus. Now we're talking about prayer. The Word. And prayer. In verse 5, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." He's like he's having this dialogue with the Lord Himself. For Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. It's beautiful, beloved. It's beautiful. And we can experience this. We can walk. This is personal relationship to Jesus Christ. Let me say in reverence, and you'll understand when I say it. Personal relationship is not necessarily, with all due respect to the number of books that I may have on my library, although we surely have benefited and been helped from this. Personal relationship is not always the outward that is seen. Personal relationship is in the quietness, in our own quiet relationship to the Lord Jesus, walking with Him, communing with Him, committing all to Him, loving Him, receiving of Him. The sweetest soul that I ever knew in my lifetime was a missionary from China when I was a young student. And I've mentioned this before. He was the most godly man that I ever met. He had a long white beard. He was an old brother in his 90s. And he had been through the Boxer Rebellion in China. He had lost his wife. He had seen his fellow missionaries killed in that terrible onslaught against Christians. He was with, at that time, he was retired now from the China Inland Mission. And I remember as he put his arm around my shoulder and how he loved the Lord and loved His Word. And he would say, just read His Word. Come to know Him and to love Him. He said, read His Word. Talk to Him. Have that fellowship with Him. And I found out after this dear brother went home to be with the Lord, another fellow missionary said to me, he said, do you know what, Fred? That Brother Fiedler was able to read the Scriptures 75 times in his lifetime on his knees. On his knees. Nobody knew it. He would mark it off that he read the Scriptures on his knees. It was no wonder that his face glowed with the loveliness of Christ. This is personal relationship, isn't it? Vital relationship. Vital and precious relationship. I would like to just bring it down to the most practical way I can. Would you turn with me to Ephesians 5, please? Ephesians 5. And here's some things that if we would ask ourselves now, how can I know this real personal relationship with the Lord Jesus? I mean, what is it going to do, or how am I going to react? How is this carried out in my life? Lord, just what are some of the things that you're saying to me in the Word of God, and this is how we determine what the will of God is in our life as we devote ourselves to the reading of Scripture and prayer. And so there's some simple little bits of truth here that might be the manner in which God deals with us and opens our eyes to ourselves. And I found these and discovered them for myself, and I would like to share them with you. The first one is found in the 15th verse of chapter 5. It's just a short little verse here. As I say, Lord, am I personally walking with You and enjoying this relationship? And the Word of God says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We might ask ourselves to measure up to this whole idea of personal relationship to the Lord Jesus. It amounts to a day of 24 hours. It amounts to my time in this scene. The most precious thing we have in life is our time. Notwithstanding our preciousness of the Lord, but in a practical way, the most precious thing we have, beloved, is time. For since 24 hours ago, up until this very second, we are 24 hours closer either to the Lord taking us all or our own death. And so time becomes a very important factor. And if I am maintaining a relationship with the Lord Jesus, I ask myself, Fred, what about my time? How am I spending my time? It's so precious to me. How am I spending my time? Am I fritting it away? Am I just wasting it on non-essentials? I mean, I've got so little left. I mean, Lord, I look back, more than half my life is gone. Some of us might say, I'm just living, as it were, in borrowed time. Or we say, I don't know how much I have left, but Lord, if I have relationship with you, it's going to affect how I spend my time. That's so simple. It's not profound, beloved, but it's so simple. That's the test. As I read the Word of God, and I read that verse, redeeming the time. Lord, what about my time? Young person, how are you spending your time? How are you spending your time? What are you doing with your time? Are you spending time with the Lord? Do you realize how it's going by? My wife and I were almost amazed. We were trying to figure out if it was 4 or 5 years since we were standing here in this place. And you know, time has gone by so fast that I thought, well, it seems like it's just last year. It's just flitting by. How am I spending my time? But here's the next one. Simple. Very, very simple. Verse 19. And speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And I'd like to call your attention to just that little expression at the end, making melody in your heart. And not necessarily a beautiful voice, but that melody of the heart, that's what personal relationship is. A silent song, as if it were a joy that comes from the Lord Himself. A communion with Him. It's an inexpressible melody. It's not put into beats and measures. It's just a melody between you and the Lord. Lord, it's so wonderful to be a Christian. I just thank you for that. We spoke of the 5 billion people. If nothing will make you sing in your spirit, we constantly ask ourselves, why was it? In this world of 5 billion people, that there as a little boy, or there as a young girl, that I was exposed to the Word of God, or was born into a family of a mother and a dad that loved the Lord Jesus, or why was it that I was taken as a child and brought to a Sunday school? Or why was it that my parents were in the meeting and we were brought to the breaking of bread, and I listened all these years to the reading meetings and to precious ministry? Why was that? How come that some 5 billion people in our world, and maybe I'm just among the 5% that know the Lord Jesus. Why was that, Lord? If that doesn't put a song in your heart, beloved, then you're then there's something wrong. Oh, Lord, it's so, your grace is so wonderful. Your love is so deep. Your fellowship is so sweet, Lord, I just know that it's just begun. We have in Corinthians, don't we, in a little different context, but we have that we look not at the things that are seen, they're temporal, but we look at those things off yonder. Who is it but what a Christian walking with the Lord Jesus that can read the newspaper or walk out on the street and there's chaos and decay all over in the Christian? He says, well, Lord, there's a better day coming. And things go all wrong at work, and Christians aren't above disappointments, but they have that indestructible faith and perseverance that comes from the Lord Jesus. And they say, well, the Lord never promised me a bed of roses, but He has promised me His fellowship. He has promised me His love. And I can go through this experience rejoicing in spite of everything else. This is what I think is, in my estimation, beloved. We could speak of the assembly, and no doubt this will be something else of a different subject. But here we are. Here we are. Saved. Why He ever saved us, we'll never know. But it will take an eternity to gaze in His face and know that for some reason we are one of His. Why we should ever have the privilege of actually seeing our blessed Lord Jesus will occupy us with wonder and amazement for eternity. That I should have the privilege of seeing my Lord, even looking at His nail-pierced hands and feet. Why should I be granted such a privilege? You talk of personal relationship. It's the Lord Jesus. That's what makes it so beautiful and so wonderful. If I have appeared this morning of being too subjective, you will forgive me. But it's very difficult, is it not, to present only the facts without, from our own hearts, reaching out to Him in love and amazement. And the wonder of it all is that not that we love God, but that He loved us. Let's bow together, shall we? Our time is gone. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before the Lord. We'll just pray, close the meeting without any further ado. Let's just bow for a few minutes quietly. Maybe we need to just, in our heart of hearts, just tell the Lord individually how much we really appreciate His Word, His person, His work, the value of it, His obedience to the Father, and all that is involved in that. Indeed, may we know what personal relationship really means. Lord Jesus, we confess before Thee that we are weak. Lord, we are unworthy. We are oft-times argumentative. We are oft-times, Lord Jesus, hard to get along with, proud, indifferent, But our Father, we pray. We just thank You and praise You, Lord Jesus, for who You are. Coming into this world, singling out the very least of us, laying Thy hand upon us, bringing us to Thy bosom, saving us, putting us, as it were, in the body of Christ, of which Thou art the head. Lord, putting us too in fellowship with the saints of God, remembering the Lord Jesus, gathered only to Thy name, Lord Jesus. What a privilege. What a privilege to be able to directly talk to Thee without, Lord Jesus, going through man and his system. Lord, we thank Thee for what a privileged people we are. We thank Thee for personal relationship to the Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank Thee so much for what we understand. But Lord, we confess there's so much more to know. And so, Lord Jesus, whatever years or whatever You have left for us as a collective body or as individuals, we would walk in the path that is pleasing alone to Thee. Lord Jesus, we would desire with all of our hearts that we would have a more depth to our walk with Thee, more of a song in our heart. And Lord Jesus, we would seek to glorify Thy name alone, for it is in Thy name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.